I never posted the right things either. Like, I was very silly, stupid, authentic myself, probably to somewhat of a detriment. Like, I can't imagine like a calculated way to approach it all.
I was super excited to meet up with you because every time I see you online, it's always you telling a story about somebody else.
Yes.
And I feel like it would be fun to hear your story. You are currently working at Core Memory. You've written for a bunch of the big names in tech media.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I studied information systems in college in Sacramento. I thought a computer degree would be helpful, but I really wanted to be a writer my whole life.
Yeah.
And my junior year of college, I figured out I could write about technology. That just didn't occur to me. I was like, you just have to like go into DevRel or, you know, that's what I expected. And then I started writing for my student newspaper. And then COVID happened, which made like writing technology for a student publication more interesting. The digital divide was a really big thing because people couldn't access internet to go to school. You know, like you would have to work from the parking garage to do your homework if you didn't have like equal internet access. So I wrote a bunch of that, and then I tweeted, I want to write about niche software developer communities.
Right.
And then an editor and my dear, dear friend, Matt Weinberger, he reached out to me from Business Insider and was like, you're weird. Would you like a job? So that's how it all started.
How do you get that shot? You tweeted, I want to be a journalist. I feel like a lot of people have done that, and
totally.
It just kind of falls on crickets. So what was different?
Totally. I mean, niche software developer communities is a weird thing for any college student to want to write about.
Sure.
I think a lot of young people who become journalists like study journalism and they expect a more straight and arrow. You write for the local newspaper, you intern there, and then you just write enough that you get poached. Mm. I had this unique path where I already like am getting a degree in technology, so I don't need to be taught that.
Right.
I more or less need to be taught like how do I get sources, how do I write big features, how do I, you know, navigate this thorny world of media. So I think tweeting that, and then Taylor Lorenz, she was at the Times at the time, she quote tweeted it and said someone should hire her. And then so did Corey Quinn, who is awesome. He also quote-tweeted it. It was like, someone should hire her. And that's when my editor was like, that's such a weird combination, Taylor Lorenz and Corey Quinn. Like, I would like to know more about that. So that's really how it happened. I never posted the right things either. Like, I was very silly, stupid, authentic myself, probably to somewhat of a detriment. Like, I can't imagine like a calculated way to approach it all.
I feel like there's nobody who's lasted in my circles who I felt was calculated in the way they approach things. Like it's always been somebody who skidded in sideways or somebody who was just so weird that everybody was like, what's even happening?
Totally.
And, you know, I think that always makes such a, it's almost like the story is the opportunity. Right?
Yeah. I have never been able to live like sort of like a robotic by the book life. I don't know why it's like authority bothers me. Like I can't, you know, fit in that box, which is weird to say because I have never really thought about it until I'm put on the spot. But I think that sort of authenticity and humanity was really helpful in journalism because so many people are taught like, this is how you do this. This is how you get the stories.
Right.
This is how you scale. And I didn't know any of that. So I'm just sort of freeballing it and then asking questions and in a way that I think people are like, oh, she's really understanding me, she's listening, rather than trying to get a certain story out of a person. I think that was helpful.
I feel like you weren't new, but like relatively speaking, you were pretty new in the industry and you were breaking huge stories in the Twitter takeover days when it was becoming X. You were getting like unbelievable story, like good scoops. So this is an industry that is so built on trust and reputation, and you're asking people to be anonymous sources, which, like, there are very real consequences if somebody blows their source. How do you think your approach was able to, like, get you that trust so quickly that people were going to give you these huge swords?
I had real passion and real, like, earnestness with them of, like, if you say something that you think later, I don't know if that was safe for me to tell you, then I won't publish it. See, like I was mostly remote as a journalist because it was COVID when I started in 2021.
Sure.
So a lot of this I learned just by doing it. So I don't know if other journalists would do the same thing where they're told something very sensitive and then they're later told like, you shouldn't report that, it could get me fired. I don't know if they would hold back, but I definitely did. And I think that probably earned me some trust.
Both in your reporting, but also like the way you present online, you have a distinct personality. And that I think really trades into, you know, it's easy to trust you because you feel like a person. I guess, how did you build the confidence to just be a person? Like when the default is you get shouted down if you try to be something that people aren't expecting.
Yeah, I think, I've been shouted down too many times and you just get thick skin. And I think you have people like you and other lovely people in your life who really love you and appreciate you and help you build that confidence. Like, there was this one time a journalist had yelled at me on Twitter because they thought that they had beaten me to a scoop. I was a junior reporter, so I'm, 23, 24. And I'd never been in that position. And my editor at the time told me, like, Kylie, just so you know, like, when you have your name under a big headline, it doesn't make you the most emotionally secure person. And I think about that all the time. And that's just like those little things that build up your confidence and the people who believe in you. I just can't imagine not being me. Like, it just feels weird and unnatural. I don't know how to not do it. It would probably serve me better to not in some ways. But there's things I don't fully show. Like, I don't always talk about my family or my friends. I'm very protective of that because, you know, you can see me and you can understand me, but I don't want to go too far into like the more intimate parts of my life.
How are you drawing that line? Like, where in your head is the difference between like, I'm sharing the right amount to be a person or I'm oversharing and this is like way too intimate?
I think my mom had once told me like, people on the internet enjoy seeing you sad, so don't try to share a ton about being sad or having hard times because they feed off of that. Can't remember what that was in reference to, but she's right. Like, I don't just like lay out all the issues in my life on the internet. I think it's just a gut feeling I have.
What kind of stuff do you focus on these days?
I'm mostly AI focused, but now that I work at Core Memory, it's a lot of hardware, rockets, robots, robot fighting. It's, a lot of hard technology. When I went to The Verge, I started covering AI, and I was so intimidated by it because I was really worried about being one of those journalists that doesn't really understand the technology and then reports things that are incorrect and then confuse the public. It ended up working out, and I've been covering it for a couple years now, and it's been a really good time.
Are you kind of intentionally directing yourself toward different topics or areas of expertise? Like, you know, as you're at Core Memory, you're looking at robots and spaceships. Was that you were like, wow, I'd love to work on that. Let me angle toward that. Or are you just kind of like following where it goes?
I wish I was more intentional with my career. I think what I learned so far is that I don't actually love doing scoops. Like, that is a real demand. And outlets really want that because it shows that you're in the loop. It shows that you guys are first and best and all that. But I find the best stories, the most fun for me and fun for everyone, is like a weird person building something weird. So that's what I really enjoy. And Ashley, my boss, that's his bread and butter. He follows people with big cameras and shows all the different sides of a human.
Do you find yourself thinking it, like, maybe there's one more step after this, or you sort of focus on where you are now, or how do you, I guess, like you said, you don't like plan ahead, but how are you approaching your career right now?
I mean, I would love to do exactly this forever. That would be great. And just continue to make documentaries, to make the podcast with Ashley, to write big, crazy stories. This is the dream, you know, and not have that expectation, a gun to my head, to pump out content or pump out scoops. It's that culture isn't here. So if I could do this forever, that would be great.
How are you looking at the world to keep yourself like feeling positive, like satisfied with the work that you're doing?
Oh, that's such an interesting question. Oh my gosh, so lofty. I think I know how to get shit done, and I continue to prove that to myself in crazy scenarios. I think just doing that enough times and being like, I got this, and it's just sort of a natural feeling. But I think that's where my confidence comes from. And, you know, just being a little silly whimsical with it. Nothing is that serious.
And do you think it's your confidence that's kind of leading you to be satisfied with the direction? Or are you also sort of looking at opportunities in a, like, this one, not that one?
Yeah.
You know, do you have heuristics or?
No, it's, after I left Wired and I was unemployed for a couple months, I was like, I never want to be in a position where I'm counting the hours I'd spent with my family that year and it's too little. Life feels so finite in such a dramatic way in that moment when you're worked to the bone. So that was my main goal, is have a job that I love and that lets me like have a normal life instead of working all the time, and chase stories that are meaningful to me and not meaningful to like making money, you know?
I always want to know when people are measuring things, like, what is a good career? What is a good life?
I really enjoy the closeness I feel with such a small team. I know them, I trust them. When you're in a big company, it's much different. But these guys, I'm like in it for the adventure with them. And that is really fucking rad. That feels like a good career. Like I have their back and they have mine and we can go do some weird shit together. And a good life, I want to be able to, like right now, I'm here for 10 days while my mom's in Japan so I can babysit my sister, and being able to do that for her without like, what a headache at work that could be. I have no headache. They're just like, go for it. I wrote a few stories. It's like that lack of pressure because they trust me and they know that I'm good and that I want to get this done. It's great. That's the answer.
I love it. Absolutely love it. Kylie, thank you so much.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, I'm so honored.